Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, broadcast on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and American League Baseball, capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Now, this is unusual. This is a rebroadcast. Producer Jeremy Mitchell and actor Sean McKinney were my guests on the very first episode of Mr. Media Radio, broadcast on the Blog Talk Radio Network. They were promoting a new Miami-based independent feature, Nemesis, that tells the story of an idealistic young rap star, fighting for his own voice against the corrupting influence of the hip-hop industry. A record label discovers him, and he's forced to promote violence and materialism in exchange for fame. And the movie dramatizes the hypocrisies of a multi-billion dollar industry that encourages its fans to stay true to the streets. And now, it took 18 months, but Mitchell finally succeeded in landing a DVD distribution deal for his film, now known as Know Thy Enemy. This is a rebroadcast of the original. You'll hear that we refer to the movie as Nemesis, which is what it was called then. But very happy for Jeremy and Sean and everyone involved in the film. So I hope you'll enjoy this this interview with Jeremy Mitchell and Sean McKinney of Know Thy Enemy. Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, brought to you today by The Fitness Buff Show, the leanest, fastest hour on radio. Check it out online at fitnessbuffshow.com and start getting fitter and faster today. Nemesis is a new Miami-based independent feature film that tells the story of an idealistic young rap star fighting for his own voice against the corrupting influence of the hip-hop industry. A record label discovers him, and he is forced to promote violence and materialism in exchange for fame. The movie dramatizes the hypocrisies of a multi-billion dollar industry that encourages its fans to stay true to the streets. Directed by Lee Cipolla and produced by Jeremy Mitchell and Justin Marks, Nemesis stars Sean McKinney as the unlikely gangster rap star Nemesis, and Marlon Taylor, a.k.a. rapper Messiah, as the real gangster rapper Razor Rick. The soundtrack features original music from fresh and new artists such as Messiah, a Mr. Cheeks protege, and Susie Abramite, already known for her number one single duet with hip-hop star Fat Joe. As for co-producer Jeremy Mitchell, our guest today, he's worked steadily over the last 6 years, notably appearing in Harder They Fall, King, Full Circle, Chat, and Motel. He has also appeared in numerous independent and short films. Jeremy, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for joining us today on our first go-round with Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's really exciting to be on here and having Nemesis starting to get prestige of being able to be on shows like this.
I appreciate that. Jeremy, you're an actor, and if you don't mind me saying, a white guy to boot. How did you wind up producing a movie about the hip-hop scene?
Yeah, that's funny. It's the question that seems to pop up over and over. Well, as far as being an actor, I can answer that pretty easily. It's just sort of been a process that's kind of, evolved. Like you said, I've been working in the industry, and those films you named were as an actor. But through doing that, you start to work and meet people. And with Lee, the director, he directed Harder They Fall, was his first feature, and we met on that project and just started to develop sort of a working collaborative relationship. And did a couple other little projects together, and then did a competition where I wrote the script, and he directed it. And then this project, Nemesis, started to germinate. It actually began with a trailer that he made, with an original idea that we have a third writer that had created the idea for it, and they put together a trailer. But it was a completely different type of movie at that point. It was more of an urban thriller. And over a period of time, you know, some opportunities arising for like major locations, a concert venue that we thought we'd be able to shoot in. We thought, hey, this would be a great idea. And really, we're looking to get started. You know, I mean, I'm early in my career, as is the director, Lee. So we're looking for a vehicle that'll push us out there and to be able to do bigger and bigger projects. And this presented itself, and it was an amazing opportunity. And, you know, we looked at it as something that most films in this genre, you know, typically they're not done with a lot of integrity or a lot of, you know, art. They're really just commercial vehicles. But we saw it as a vehicle that could be commercial, but we could do it our way and bring our integrity to the project and try to expand the limitations of the genre and make it into something that had quality to it. And so that's how we got involved in the project. And as far as, yeah, being white and being in it, it all has to do with the philosophy of the movie, you know, against stereotypes. I mean, the main star himself, Nemesis, is your typical black hip-hop star. You know, in every way, he's just a cliche. I mean, that's what the executives are trying to tell him. They're trying to teach him to be what the industry and what the fans expect him to be, but that's not him at all. He's a lot more than that. And the film, in many ways, is about defying people's expectations and being true to yourself, not true to what people want you to be. So I think that goes hand in hand with us making a movie. Yeah, you probably wouldn't expect us to make a movie like this, you know, or me as a white guy being able to come in and say something about a life that I don't really live. But I think that's the job of all, you know, writers and artists, is to be able to have more voice than just their own, you know, to be able to empathize with other aspects of society and culture, and look at things from the outside in, and which is certainly in this situation, we were just looking at it with an outside perspective and trying to look at it objectively.
Do you have a lot of background or knowledge of the whole hip hop scene? Are you a hip hop music fan?
A fan, yeah. I'm not an industry insider, and none of us are. We have worked with some hip-hop stars, you know, I won't mention any of them, but being on sets down in Florida doing music videos and being exposed to how they're really like a lot of times when they're not performing, when they're not in character, you know, and you don't see them on a music video or in an interview. And a lot of that was the inspiration for the movie. The persona many times is completely different than what you see and what's commercialized. And a lot of them are just really articulate, really intelligent. They're business people, you know, and they're putting on a character and making money, you know, and being successful at it, and they're really good at what they do, but the image that they portray and project is nothing like what they are themselves, and certainly not what they believe you should act like. So, you know, obviously the funny thing is that the people, the fans, the public buys into the image and they think it's real, and then they start trying to portray it themselves, you know, and act like it, because they are taught, you know, through propaganda and, you know, or just our marketing, cultural marketing, that's the way we're all supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we sort of, I guess, had a point to make about that, about conformism and what's going on right now.
Well,
pop culture.
I'm thinking I'm probably a generation removed from today's hip-hop scene, but I did cover pop and rock in the 80s and maybe early 90s, and it seemed to me that the story could easily it could easily have been about the pop or rock scene at any time, as well as hip hop. The storylines are basically the same. It's just, it seems like in hip hop there's a lot more drama. There's a lot more violence, perhaps, a lot more urgency.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a natural dramatic form, hip hop, because the whole pressure of the music itself is geared towards violence and competitiveness and rivalries. So it makes for a really dramatic story. But it could have been it could even be this today now in pop or in rock, or go outside in any major city streets and you'll see, especially with kids, teenagers, they're usually trying to label themselves, categorize themselves. You know, they're in some type of subgenre. Whether it's hip hop or they're into, being surfer types or prep types or goths. You see the goths running. You see a lot of different groups. And I guess, people are really, kids especially, are searching for an identity. And through music and through advertising, we give them this characterization that they can portray and sort of fit in with a type. And it could have applied to any scene in music. Absolutely. I think that's one of our big issues, big points. It's not really about hip-hop. It is. I mean, the movie is, hip-hop is the route we took to express the point, but certainly it can stand for any of the other genres of music. And just, trying to totally, contain yourself into what people's expectations are of you are. Mm-hmm. And with hip hop, it obviously there's a lot more at stake. So it was a perfect avenue for us to tell the story, and something that the stakes could escalate and a lot could happen in it.
What can you tell me about the film's stars, Sean McKinney as Nemesis and Marlon Taylor as Razor Rick?
Okay, well, yeah, Sean, first of all, an amazing actor. He's a major theater actor, and he's out in L.A. now, but he's done a ton of work in Florida and Miami, and everybody in the theater world knows him there. He's won a Carbonell Award, which is sort of the Florida equivalent of the Tonys. For his stage work, and you don't expect that in a hip-hop film, because pretty much anyone you see out there will have real hip-hop stars and not actors, sorry to say. I mean, some of them are adequate, but they're not actors, they're rappers. And our intention with the film going in was we're going to cast actors, and what we're going to do to make this stand out is just have a really good story, and to tell that we need people that can really, really act and portray the character. So that was our mindset going in. We weren't just going to cast rappers. And we came in, and we had the auditions, and Sean, I had already known Sean because, like I said before, I'm an actor too, so I knew how good he was. I didn't know what he could do as a rapper, and that came as a total shock. But he came in an audition, and he's just really, really talented, just really natural and genuine, and just has a lot of different complexity that he can pull off, and to be able to play your stereotypical rapper and to be able to pull off that cartoonish, just cliche aspect of a character, which is what they do, and then his other half too, which is the introverted, deeply talented artistic side. Showed a lot, but like I said, it totally surprised us, because he had also been a rapper in his past. So he came in, and when he was, when we were doing the film, he ended up contributing music to the movie. I guess sort of like Hustle and Flow, Terrence Howard coming in and not being, he wasn't even really, hadn't rapped or anything, and was able to pull it off. But Sean did and did a really admirable job. And as for Marlon, it's funny, he auditioned right afterwards, and so did Bashir Sylvain, who played Jason. Three of our main cast came one right after another and just knocked us away. But Marlon is a real rapper himself, and we didn't know that coming in. We just cast him on his acting abilities alone, and he has such a sharp presence. I mean, just in his face and in his mannerisms and his persona. You know, you can tell he's had a lot going on in his life, and he has a lot going on inside of him, and it just comes out in the character. I mean, everybody who sees the movie will just always make the comment, wow, he has presence. Wow, who is that guy? You know, and he just hits you with so much so quickly. He's just very, very, very sharp, and he did an amazing job as an actor, and he's a great musician as well, and we're like telling everybody, why isn't this guy out there? Why isn't he famous right now? You know, why is he the best kept secret that, you know, only us know about him? So we're hoping that this gives him a platform to get his music out there as well and become a star in his own right, and as well as an actor.
And they're all fine and good, but tell me about Susie.
Susie, of course you know.
I know guys are gonna see her, and they're gonna want to know more about her. So we're gonna have to fill in around the edges here.
Yeah, I'm sure they will, and I think a lot more people will be wanting to know about her soon as this gets out there. Susie is a developing star as well. It's funny. Susie and me actually have a long background because we're both tennis players originally, and we knew each other from way back then. And the role she played was by far the most difficult to cast in the movie because, again, going back to the whole stereotypes concept, we were trying to play with them, and the opposite of the black male gangster rapper is the white female rapper, you know, which you don't see because nobody will accept. And so we said, okay, they won't accept it. Let's see if we can put a character in there in the movie that's actually, in reality, a lot more hard edge in her attitude and her upbringing than the main guy really is, even though he's pretending to be what she really is. So that was sort of the intention of the character, but to cast that was a real mission, because we actually had to find somebody that could pull it off. And I never even thought of Susie, even though I'd known her and knew she was in the music industry, because I didn't know her music that well, and what I had heard of it was more R&B, sort of Nelly Furtado-ish, Black Eyed Peas girl, whatever her name is right now, Fergie. Something more along those lines, and, you know, I knew how attractive she was, and you know, you don't mind having an attractive girl in the role, but we had seen it more as sort of a thuggish, you know, hard-edged type of girl, another friend of mine who was helping cast the movie had actually knew we were having trouble casting the role and had seen this girl, Susie, on MySpace, and she mentioned her to me, didn't even mention the name, said, I know this girl on MySpace who's amazing, fits the role perfectly, and, you know, the power of new medium or whatever, just, you know, artists being able to get out there, and this had reached the friend of mine, so I checked it out, and boom, it was Susie. Like, wow, I didn't even think of her. And there was like a rap song up on her MySpace page. It was like, I guess I'll have to bring her in. And I did. And, you know, she was able to pull off the both aspects of the character really well. And she's, she's going a lot of places. I mean, she's gotten a role on Burn Notice recently. I know she has a lot of commercials out there. So she's up and coming. She's done a duet with Fat Joe. It was a number one hit. I think you mentioned that in the intro. Mm-hmm. And she's really, really taking off. Again, we're hoping it's a platform here for her to take further steps. But, I mean, yeah, just, you know, off of, I know she's got the commitment because of her past and the talent and the star quality, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, you can probably see that.
Well, no disrespect to your male co-stars, but I think a lot of the guys are going to be very interested in Susie, and I don't want to give anything away from the movie, but I just, you know. And she keeps her clothes on. I don't want to be misleading here, but I think guys would be very interested to check her out.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think so, too. And, no, she doesn't have to take her clothes off.
No.
She'll steal the show in a lot of ways.
So this is your first producing role, I'm assuming, for doing a feature.
It is. My first feature producing role. Yeah, I've produced a couple of,
and of course
short films and such. But
the question that anyone in my position would have to ask is, where did you find the money? How did you guys ante up to produce this? And what was the budget?
Well, we were able to, first of all, yeah, I mean, the budget, can't give exact details, amounts on that, but I'll just put it at, it was under $1 million. So it was a, you know, low budget fare. We don't have any huge names in it, but hopefully they will be soon. Yeah, and as far as we were able to fall into an investor. We had one investor, private investor locally in Florida that we were able to approach with the film, and we actually already knew him, and, you know, he had seen what we'd done in the past, you know, a few of the other projects, the short films and the success we were starting to have and recognition with the different projects, and he had seen the trailer for this and really, you know, the script, and bought into the concept of where we were going, and got on board, and also the DP helped out a tremendous amount that we had, because he was really, really well connected in the Florida area. He'd been working for 10 years, not as a DP, as an assistant camera. So just like us, he was looking to step up and take the next step in his career and do something bigger and become a DP. So this was the project he'd been looking for, because he'd had the opportunity to be in different stuff, but he wanted something that he could really show off in, I guess, for lack of a better word. And so he loved it when he read the script, got in. Once he got in, a ton of things started to happen, because, like I said, it's Florida. There's a lot more opportunities than if you're shooting in L.A., you know, and it's a smaller community. And he knew everyone and just was able to pull a lot of people, a lot of really important people in the Florida film industry into the project, and just raised our expectations a ton. I mean, we came into this project looking at our philosophy was, hey, let's just make something. You know, we're not going to sit around for 5 years trying to put together a project at the highest level, because, you know, if we start working now, put something together, you know, by the time in 5 years comes around, it'll be our third project, and we'll be, you know, when we finally get there to that big one, we'll be so ready from all this that it's going to pay off a lot more, and it'll just doing stuff. We think it just helps you get there, not just waiting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we came into it, we were like, hey, we're just going to make it, and we had expectations to make it as good as possible, but we didn't know it was going to blow up like it did, and things, you know, that would start to fall into place and just bring the production value at a way higher level and raise our expectations and make us come with more of an A game, and bring Justin Marks, the DP, and changed everything as far as that went, our whole mentality. It was just really exciting to be involved and watch it grow, and scary too, to have to meet a lot of responsibility that we didn't expect to at the start of it.
Now, actors and responsibility are not supposed to cross, right?
Responsibility, right? And a fickle of us, but luckily, you know, once you take on a different role, you assume a different name, so when you're on set, you're the producer, and you try to portray that, and it just happens because you believe it, because you are, you have it. So, responsibility comes with the territory, and it changes you. It definitely, for me, it gave me a ton more discipline, absolutely. And
well, Jeremy,
it still is.
I want to say, this is still kind of a new format for me. I understand we may have some live listeners. So, folks, if you're listening to this live, you can call into the show and ask a question of Jeremy at 646-595-3135. I'll repeat it one more time. It's 646-595-3135. And if you'd like to call in, we could. As a matter of fact, we do have a call. Jeremy, let's see who's calling here.
Okay.
Hi. Is there a caller there?
Hello.
Hi. You have a question for Jeremy?
This is actually Sheon McKinney. I'm in the movie Nemesis.
Oh, Sheon, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course. How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you were able to get on. This is our star right here. This is Nemesis, everybody.
Appreciate you calling. Sheon, tell me about taking this role. I mean, it's a a small budget film,
right?
But a big opportunity for you, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Just like Jeremy had said, I mean, when I first got approached about the audition, my initial reaction was, you know, I didn't want to go and just play another rapper, you know, because that happens all the time, and that's kind of not the route I wanted to go with my career. But then reading the script and seeing that it had a real storyline and seeing that the character Nemesis definitely had some substance to it, and all the supporting characters were real people, and the storyline itself to me is tremendous. You know, I thought, this is great. I have, you know, an amazing opportunity to not only tell a great story, but to, as an actor, you know, play a complete character.
Yeah, I mean, your character, it really is complete, because through flashbacks, we see you as a boy, we see you growing up, we see you with your father, and then even as an adult, we get to see these two very different sides of Nemesis.
Right. Mm. And it's like Jeremy had mentioned, like, I mean, when I first started out back in the day, I used to rap, and it just hit me that wasn't the career I wanted to follow. And, you know, being an African American coming from a place, you know, I didn't grow up in the ghetto per se, but you know, I grew up in, I guess, what we call the hood. And there's a couple of routes you can take to try to get out of there. And one of those routes for a lot of people is rapping. And, you know, most of the kids that grow up around there, we see rappers, and that's what we want to emulate. We want what they have, but we don't know what goes in between those steps they took to get there. And, you know, I'm a huge hip-hop fan. I grew up on hip-hop. I love hip-hop, and it's been exploited so much, and it's been manipulated so much. And I think the movie shows a great, great, great part of what happens to these people, because, I mean, I think we forget that when we see these huge stars, that they're people first. And Nemesis is a prime example. You see what happens to this kid who's an artist at heart, and the industry says, we want to take you and make you this. And the movie, to me, is about decisions as a man. You have to make a choice. What do you want to do with your life, and what are you willing to sacrifice? And to me, it does a great job of that, saying, this kid, you know, he has to make a choice. Do you want the fame and fortune, but what is it going to cost you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to me, that was a standout reason for me to take that role and try to portray that, you know.
When I
think that's an important point, too, is that, you know, hip-hop didn't start out being what it is now. You know, it started out as an act of rebellion. It was a celebration of life, even though times were tough. And, you know, obviously in the area that it came out of in New York, it was lean streets, and there were a lot of negatives, but the music itself was positive, and it was trying to be uplifting, and it was a movement. It was a different movement from everything that was around it. It had its own identity, and over time it's sort of been morphed into what it is now, into, you know, and for the most part, at least commercially on the radio and the big music that makes a lot of money, it's just, you know, an agent of propaganda. And like Shion said, I think his character has a similar arc in itself. He starts out as a really truthful, true to himself, genuine artist, and gets manipulated into being something that he isn't really.
Shion, let me ask you, I kind of teased Jeremy about this when we started the conversation, about mm-hmm. being the white guy doing the hip-hop film. And of course, he plays a record producer in the film. It seems to me that he's taken on a dual risk here. One is that he is a white guy producing a film about hip-hop, but he's also, you know, he's got money on the line, he's in the film. How does all that, you know, how do you think that'll stand up in the community?
You know, I mean, to me, I really think, you know, to some people it may be a double-edged sword, but I think it's a great thing, because the one thing we have to improve in this country, you know, because it's still an issue today, is race relations. And I think as an artist, as a writer, your job is always going to try to be to capture the story from all angles. And I think hip-hop, it's a black commodity in its creation, but it's not exclusive at all. You know, it's hip hop is open to everybody, and I was shocked. You know, and I told Bashir, who's my best friend, who was in the film, like, they really captured the essence of hip hop in this film. They also captured the essence of the industry, which, I mean, you see now there's millions of people rapping now. Whether you think they're good or not, there's millions of people rapping, black, white, Latino, what have you, and you know, I don't think that only, you know, only black people can talk about hip-hop. Just like I don't think only white people can write certain types of films. You know what I mean? It's open to everybody. And if I honestly would have read the script and thought, okay, these white dudes don't know what they're talking about, I wouldn't have did the film. But I read it, and I was like, wow, they know what they're talking about. And they were also very open. Jeremy and Lee were very open to whatever input that we had. If we were like, oh, well, you know, I don't like the way this sounds, I don't like saying it this way, they were just like, hey, go, try it this way. And it was a great collaboration. And I think that anybody that sees the film within any community is going to realize that. They might not even realize who wrote it or, you know, who produced it or what have you. And I have to give kudos to Jeremy because I know as an artist, coming from a theater background, it's tremendously hard to try to act and try to direct at the same time. You know, it'll drive you insane. And he did a great job of keeping it together. So I commend him. And I love the idea that it was written by, you know, somebody outside of the black community.
And how do you think he did it, portraying a white producer?
He was the most amazing sleazebag on camera that I've ever been around. I have to give him that. He just came, he just has that presence of just like, wow, I really don't like this guy on camera. So I think he did a heck of a job. And I think everybody in the film, not just trying to sound cheesy, but it was one of those projects where it was an amazing collaboration of just backgrounds clashing together and coming out with something beautiful, or a really great piece of art, I think.
One of the things I liked was I went to school at the University of Miami for just for a year, but and it's been a while. But I felt like watching the film that it really, both the cinematography and the atmospherics that were in the film, it really kind of captured the feel of being in Miami.
Yeah, it did. It did, and it was great being out here in L.A. now and realizing, you know, I just came back from Miami yesterday, actually, and I'm like, wow, you know, I really miss home. And the film does capture Miami great, from everywhere we perform to the language to just the vibe of the people. Miami has a certain vibe that I think it stands out, you know, like anywhere else. It's like New Yorkers have that vibe. L.A. people have that vibe. Miami has that vibe and that culture to it, and I think the film really, really captures that.
What do each of you have on the line here as you wait for this film to find distribution and get out? And, you know, what do you hope the film will do for each of you?
I mean, speaking personally, you know, you just, as an actor, you hope that somebody will see it and it just leads to, you know, leads to something else. I hope people can see the film and take it for what it is, and, you know, any aspiring rapper or artist can be like, I want to go into maybe a contract situation and say, I'm going to make my own choices. That's what I hope somebody can be touched by. I mean, as an actor, I just hope, you know, like anybody else that watched them, be like, hey, let me call this guy in for an audition, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as I go, like Shion said, I want the movie to stand up on its own because I think it's an important piece. Going into this, I mean, our expectations were to make something good. They were also to grow. To get somewhere else, use it as a platform, and the easiest way I shouldn't say the easiest, but the most viable way we saw was to make something in a genre that a lot of people were interested in, and hip hop certainly captured that. So it's, you know, one of the biggest pop cultural movements there is in America. So we said, hey, let's make a film about something that's important and current and now, and, you know, has a point. At the same time, let's make something good out of it, and we tried to do that, and, you know, tried to give what we felt and how we really perceived everything, and after it's been done, I mean, I really wanted to get out there and people to see it and you know, maybe think about it a little bit. So I wanted to stand on its own. At the same time, you know, I want to use it as a platform to make bigger and bigger projects. And reach more people with each successive work. So, yeah, I'm really hoping it does as well as possible.
And, Jeremy, I should ask you, what is the status of the film? I mean, where are you at on the business side of things?
We're working on getting a distribution deal. We're actually looking to try to get into a big festival and get a little more worldwide exposure, just to up the status of the project, the awareness of it, and, you know, be able to sell for a deal that will make the film circulate more and reach more people. So at this point, it's complete, and just recently finished post and got everything done, put the soundtrack in. So, yeah, at this point we're shopping it around and trying to seek it out, getting it out there into the marketplace.
Okay. Well, Jeremy Mitchell, producer of Nemesis, and Shion McKinney, star of Nemesis, thank you both so much for joining us today on Mr. Media.
Thank you very, very much. Appreciate
thank
your time.
You.
Appreciate you guys
yeah,
calling in.
Thank you so much, Mr. Media.
And, folks, if you're curious to know more about the movie, you can visit the website at www.nemesisthemovie.com. And if you'd like to keep up with Mr. Media's Friday interviews, you can subscribe to the site via email at www.mrmedia.com. You can also subscribe to the audio feed at blogtalkradio.com or in the podcast section of iTunes. Thanks for joining us. Please come back again next week for another Fridays with Mr. Media.